Welcome back to this week's installment of Expand Your Mind and Be Kind. Thanks for joining Ryan and I on our adventure, and I hope everyone enjoys our episode. Thank you.
It's Jim and another getting to know your best friend episode.
Part 75.
So today we each have a quote, and Jim, would you like to lead off with yours?
Yes. So my quote is from the author C.S. Lewis. He said, "Friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, 'What? You too? I thought I was the only one.'"
What a great quote. I love that one.
You just find someone that you have mutual weird commonalities with, and you hang around them.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of fun to do a podcast on, like, weirdness. Like, why do we think things are weird and that kind of stuff. Well, maybe we could do that. My quote is
topical.
Dale Carnegie, and it goes something like this. "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you." I think that's kind of one of the big aspects of this show that I really appreciate, is I've learned things about you and that I didn't know before. And I think a lot of that just comes from being curious and interested in what we're talking about and things. So
likewise.
That's why I chose that one. Okay, well, we'll be right back with the discussion.
Hello there.
Well, hello there.
So, this week, we're going to talk about how weird Ryan and I are.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the longest episode that we've published yet.
Indeed. Indeed. So this is kind of our recurring deviation from our normal topic selection. And it's just kind of a random fun thing where Jim and I get to ask each other questions and just have some fun. Not that we don't normally with the podcast, but this is a little less structured as far as what topic we think about. So, Jim, would you like to answer some questions that I've randomly chosen?
So you want me to ask you a question?
No, I am going to ask you questions first.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Here we go. Are you ready?
No. Let's do this.
Alright. So I've the last couple of times that we've done this, I've used this app called Party Cues, and it just gives you different categories and you can choose which categories you want to ask questions from. And the new approach that I've taken is just randomizing the questions, so they're gonna just be from a bunch of different categories. So that's what we're doing. This first question is from Celebrity. Would you rather do a bottomless brunch with the cast of Parks and Recreation or The Office?
This isn't fair. I love both shows.
What is a bottomless brunch? Oh, okay. I took it literally as like, yeah, people were not wearing their bottoms.
I thought about that for a second. I was like, I mean, I guess that could be a thing.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Oh, I'm just hanging out, you know.
Just hanging.
Just hanging. Let's see. Oh, Ryan, I feel like this is a targeted one. You did this on purpose.
I chose it because it's a difficult question to answer.
Yes. Which are the best? The best ones. I'm going to have to go with The Office. I feel like it's just a little bit nearer and dearer to my heart. I've rewatched The Office, as opposed to I've only watched Parks and Recs one time through. But yeah, we'll go with the Office.
Who would you sit next to?
Dwight.
Very nice. Very nice.
Hands down. And then I would antagonize him and just see what happens. It would be glorious. We'd chat about the Eggs Benedict or something, and he'd tell me the history of him.
Yeah. Love that. Let's see. This other question that I had. Oh, okay. This question is about habits. The question is...
Like the things that monks wear, or...
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's exactly right. So, what good habits do you admire the most?
Good habits. So we're talking like probably activities of daily life.
Yes.
Do I admire? So not necessarily things that I do personally, because I have very few healthy habits.
Yes. So this is just what you admire. Like what, if you saw someone do this or you heard that someone did this, you'd be like, oh, cool. I appreciate that about you.
I would say making their bed in the morning. I always half-ass throw my bed back together in the morning, but never like take the time to make it. But I once had this old guy who's in the military, like most of his life, tell me that making your bed is like one of the most important things to do, because it like starts your day out orderly, and you kind of like you start your day in charge of your day.
Yeah, I've heard something about it. Also gives you a sense of accomplishment, like you did something, like you started your day by completing something. Which right. Is, yeah.
Well, and like most of us, when we get out of bed, we just kind of like look back at our bed, or don't even, and just move on with our day. But
look at it in disdain, but also longing.
Right. Come back.
When I go back to bed,
I'll come back. I'm gonna throw up.
So it does say habits. Is there another one, or is that, would you like to end with that?
The people that like have that, not just like people that go to the gym, but the people who have like that very, a very dedicated schedule that they stick to regardless, and take really good care of their bodies physically.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that is an important part of being a healthy human.
I think what needs to happen, I think what I just admitted, is I need to make up my bed in the morning and go to the gym.
Yeah. Maybe you could use weighted blankets on your bed, and then you could be going to the gym and
yes. the bed at the same time. And then sleep, too.
Nice. But you don't even use the weighted blankets to sleep. You just
you throw them on.
Put them on there for an exercise.
Yes.
What I can doing? Attest to weighted blankets being good. I sleep with a weighted blanket. So.
Really? Mm-hmm. I did not know this about you, Ryan. Like, how much poundage, or I guess, how many grams is it, if we're going to be where I would say probably kilograms, not grams?
14,000.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. You keep you tucked in and cozy at night.
It's a 50,
sweet crushing caress of sleep.
Yeah, no, it's actually I think 15 pounds.
Cool. That's yeah. So it does it help you sleep better?
I think so. Yeah.
The way to wake
I'm a
just
tosser
you...
and turner, so uh-huh. If I'm not held in place, I can be disruptive.
I'm sure Catherine probably appreciates that. So does Mitty.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Highly, highly agree. Cool. Anything else before we move on to the next question?
No, I feel like I just admitted two faults. So let's move on.
Ultimate vulnerability today. Okay.
Let's have an intervention.
Okay. What does the world need more of? And this is from the deep questions category. What does the world need more of? Love or truth?
Mm.
And you have to pick either or.
I can't be like love and truth.
You can't say lovely truth.
Truth is love.
Or any of that kind of stuff.
Love is truth.
God.
I feel like I'm leaning towards truth.
You monster. I'm totally kidding.
How could you? just for the pure fact that in the last, like, decade, misinformation, and it's become most evident in these recent years for obvious reasons, but misinformation has become such a rampant virus, if you will, throughout our world.
Totally.
Yeah. And misinformation, people acting on misinformation is way more dangerous than people not loving each other to the fullest.
Yeah, and I think
Although that would be nice too.
I also think that there is an element of care and love in truth.
Yes.
Like if you're giving somebody feedback or those kinds of things about themselves.
When you go up to somebody and say, "You're ugly." That's just the truth.
It's also love.
That's because I love you, okay?
All right. Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No,
Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I think I said my piece on that one.
Okay.
Truth, not love.
Okay, this last one is another deep question. Why do people not travel? Time, money, or something else? And I'm looking for one of those, not...
Right. I'm going to say something else, because you can travel fairly cheaply, and even if you're someone who's very busy and works super hard and is dedicated to, you know, a cause or, you know, their family or whatever, you can always find time to travel. I remember, like, even, I guess a good example is my father. You know, he is a very hardworking person. And when we were kids, he would make sure he took off at like a couple days and we would all hop in the car and go camping for like a night or two in Missouri or something. And it was like a super inexpensive vacation too, but he wanted his kids to see as much as he could show them while they were growing up.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like that like is a pretty common theme for us as adults. We just don't make time to travel. It's not so much that we have absolutely no time or no money to do so. I mean, going to some 5-star island resort, all expenses paid, is maybe not feasible for everyone, but getting in your car that you own or at least are making payments on and going to the next state, or shoot, even taking a day trip in your own town or city is possible.
Yeah. I think it's what you place importance on or mm-hmm. value, not necessarily the availability of resources, because everybody has the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And some people, I feel like, are just... they're uneasy traveling too, and so they just don't want to do it. It's uncomfortable for some people to travel, which is, you know, it's more of a, it's kind of a more personal reason not to.
It becomes a little more difficult when you have a family and kids and stuff like that too, because they're it's just logistically more difficult to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
and
not
especially
impossible.
If the kids are right, especially if the kids are young too, like it's very hard to travel with a baby.
Yeah. You can't just sling them over your shoulder.
Right.
Like a continental soldier.
But yes, I feel like, you know, you get one life to live. To me, anyway, and this is completely biased and whatnot, but... if you go throughout your life and you're on your deathbed and you're thinking back over the things you did or didn't do, I feel like a lot of people regret not seeing more of the world.
Yeah. There's just so much. And if,
right,
if you've spent most of your time in one little corner, you're missing out.
A little piece of earth. I know there is, there's a lot of good quotes on the importance of traveling.
That Mark Twain quote that we gave it, what, like one of our first episodes of the podcast.
Oh my gosh. Was that our anti-racism episode?
I think so. Yeah. Well, no, I think we did an Ibram Kendi quote on that.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, but, you're right.
Yeah. But yeah,
what was that Mark Twain quote? I liked it.
Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, that whole bit.
Yes.
I don't have it memorized, but that's the very beginning part of it.
Little disappointed there, Ryan.
Yeah.
Maybe you should travel more.
I'll spend the rest of my day self-flagellating while I try to remember. For every time that I don't remember a word in sequence, I'll hit myself with this like studded chain that I have that I wrap
cat,
around.
Cat of nine tails.
Yeah, I wrap around my thigh and tighten it every time I mess up during the day.
But yes, those are my answers to the questions. Oh, wait, unless there's more.
Do you want to do one more? We can do another one.
I mean, you're in charge. You're asking the questions.
Yeah, let's do one more. This one is in. That's funny. Like it's random, but you're getting a lot of the deep questions. What has always been a mystery to you?
What hasn't been a mystery? I feel like people and like having people and their like cognitive dissonance. Like it's always been one thing that is I have kind of pondered a good part of my older adult and older I'm not an old adult but I feel old my adult life is how people can be like super wonderful kind people to the people they love but they still you know hold beliefs whether politically or religiously or culturally that is completely hypocritical to the way that they are attempting to live their lives. I think a good example for me is like being raised Catholic. It's always just confused the hell out of me, like how like good Catholic people that I was raised with in one sentence would be talking about like how good God is and stuff. And then the next sentence they're talking about like how black people are at fault for their situation because they're lazy or something extreme like that. Like, I don't know. I feel like I had some friends growing up that I was like, let's just like listening to their parents talk. I was like, oh my God, that's coming out of your mouth. I don't understand.
Surprising. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to make sense of that, too. Because
in my own family as well.
Well, yeah. No, I was just going to say that we all have cognitive dissonance about certain things. And mm-hmm. we also have, like, the attribution error, that, you know, fundamental attribution theory, which is, you know, that we see somebody do something and we boil down their character to a single action that they did, whereas we're given ourselves, if we do that same action, a little bit more levity, because we can process our thoughts and know our experience and our intentions behind things, and so we will disregard mistakes that we make and ask for patience or forgiveness when we won't be willing to do that same thing for other people. Like when we're driving, someone cuts us off in traffic, we're like, what an asshole. But if we cut someone else off in traffic, we're like, sorry.
Like, we had a reason. Like, so sorry. Yeah. I'm late for work.
Yeah. My bad.
Right.
So.
No, that's a good example. That's a very good example of that. It's like a on-off switch.
Right.
It's on for some things, off for others. It's
befuddling. And it's more challenging, like you're saying, when you're encountered with some pretty deeply held, like, moral, ethical, philosophical beliefs that you claim to value certain things, but what you say and what you do in certain cases kind of contradict that. It's difficult to come to terms with. You say one thing and you do something else, or you do one thing and say something else. Like, what am I supposed to actually believe?
I honestly feel like, and maybe this has been the same for you, I think that's one of the major things that kind of, you know, led me away from the Catholic Church, is just things like that, that the nonsensical, like, pretty major things that I couldn't come to terms with.
Yeah.
A lot of it, like, dealing with, like, homosexuality and intolerance and even, like, more subtle things too, like, you, like, political opinions and reasonings on things like abortion and stuff. I don't know. It's a long list.
The dehumanization of people that don't believe the same things.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
That was much longer than I intended it to
be. That's what she said.
Ryan, is it my turn to interrogate you?
Yeah, if you want to ask some questions, go ahead.
So, I've just got a short list. It's only about 27 questions. So, to lighten the mood, to dig out of the deepness, here's a category in party. So, what film has a sequel that is better than the original?
Ugh. Gross.
That's a hard one.
Frozen 2. That's the first one. That's the first one that came to mind. And the reason I say that is not just because it's a good movie and I think it's objectively better than the first movie, is that it's cool because it's almost acknowledged that the original movie was made for a specific demographic, like maybe even like younger kids. And then this movie matures the characters a little bit and I think acknowledges the progression. So the people that were a fan of the first movie and maybe, you know, several years older now, they just kind of age. Like, there aren't many movies that are geared toward a younger audience that do that kind of thing. And I think Frozen's more of like a family movie, right? Like most Disney movies kind of target that way. It's
right. Audience, like, it has something for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one that comes to mind right offhand.
Ryan, I'm a little upset that you chose Frozen out of all. I'm just kidding. That's a hard one. Usually the sequels do not do the original one justice.
Ooh, if you want another one, I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Aliens.
Like Alien versus Predator Alien?
No, Aliens. So the first movie is Alien, and then the second movie is Aliens. And I think Aliens is better than Alien. And it's James Cameron, so.
Oh, okay. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I would agree with that. Ryan, are you a cinephile?
Yes.
Me too. But I think we do this about each other.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Forging ever onward into the world of fun. Without saving money, if you snapped your fingers and one thing would always appear, what would you choose?
Ooh, this one's hard.
Bruce Almighty.
You could snap one thing that would always appear.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, how you're thinking about the question, are there any restrictions around what I can?
I feel like as long as you don't try to, like, do the old genie trick, like, you can't snap your fingers and get everything you want. It has to be one single object or thing.
So could it be an experience for someone else?
Ooh, yeah. No, I like that.
Okay. Then I will choose that I could snap my finger and someone
orgasms.
That would be very disruptive to day-to-day life.
You're in a board meeting. Start snapping your finger.
Bob?
You're in church. Are you okay? Lord, let us pray!
Oh, man, that's really funny.
Completely inappropriate.
But hilarious. I think if I was going to pick something, it would probably be the ability to give people perspective about their situation. Because my first thing that I thought was like to make someone happy or to lift their mood. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's more important to give people perspective about their situation. So like if I was pissed off, I wouldn't want that person to instantly not be pissed off anymore. I would want them to understand why they were pissed off.
Ooh.
I think that would be helpful. Yeah, if I could pick one thing. Because I also thought about doing some like mundane things. Like I could snap my fingers and then have a cup of coffee, which would be cool. But then I would just be overly caffeinated all the time.
Probably die of a stroke or something.
And sometimes when I didn't intend to snap and I was just doing it out of like for fun. And then I didn't have my hand ready. Then the cup would just fall on the ground and shatter and there'd be coffee everywhere. So
you'd be drowning in coffee.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound actually like a super bad thing. I really like the perspective one. I think that was really thoughtful and deep. And it doesn't really it doesn't change people's opinions. It allows them to make the decision for themselves.
Right.
Be like, you're obviously, you're delusioned by your emotions. Snap. There you go. You're welcome.
Yep. Yep.
Now get out my face. All right. Well, speaking of deep and thoughtful, are you ready for the next one, Ryan?
Yes, please.
When you're 60 years old, so next year.
Okay.
Would you like to say that you've accomplished, or what would you like to say that you've accomplished in your life? It's because we're old, Ryan. That was the joke.
I kind of struggle with this question because
I mean, like, that's a big ask.
by 60, like that, I think that sounds like it kind of assumes I'm going to die like very soon. Once I hit 60. So I guess by that point, I would like to have, is this just one accomplishment or a list of them? How you're thinking about it?
I mean, it's not necessarily implicit on singular. It says, what would you like to say that you've accomplished in your life? So I feel like you could make that kind of a group of accomplishments.
Okay. I would like to make some sort of measurable impact on how people have dialogue, whether that's like from me writing or from being a part of organizations that help that, like having healthy discourse and dialogue about just day to day, how people can get back to being able to do that. I would like to have a published work, whether that's a book or
a porno mag.
Well, hopefully not that.
I'm you're a good writer, Ryan. I can speak to that.
And then I would also like to, I mean, by that point, I'm hoping to be a dad and a good husband and a good friend to other people. I don't know how you can objectively measure those things, but I think for me to feel that.
You pull out the measuring stick.
Yeah. That'd be helpful for that mag that you just mentioned.
Right. yeah, let's look how good I am.
that's probably kind of sums it up in some way. So, like I said, some of that stuff's difficult to objectively measure, but if I felt right. that way by that age, I think that would.
I think that's. That is noble. That is very noble. All right. So now we're switching it completely away from the deep. And would you rather go to a music concert with Taylor Swift, not a concert, I think, starring Taylor Swift, but a concert with her, or work out with Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Oh, man. So there are two different sides to this coin. If I were to work out with The Rock, he would make me look like a fool because he would be probably expecting too much from me. Not by the like sheer amount of weight that I would be able to lift, but just like my motivation to like be. It would be kind of fun, though. But I think going to a concert with Taylor Swift would also be fun.
She's a good artist.
Yeah, I think I would choose the concert just because, like, I don't identify, even though I think The Rock is awesome and he's a good person, I think going to a concert sounds like more fun to me than working
than
out.
Yeah, that sounds painful, honestly.
Especially with someone that takes it that seriously.
Right. I mean, that's pretty much like his bread and butter is looking fit as hell. Get out.
And you wouldn't be able to have much conversation. And I don't know. You
probably would be mostly dying.
Yeah, you'd be mostly dying.
But yeah, I like that answer.
And she seems like a fun person to hang out with. So
I've heard like, I mean, with any celebrity, there's the gossip and the he said, she said about this celebrity, but from the things I've heard, I would imagine that Taylor Swift is actually a very cool person in real life.
Yeah.
Even though I've heard the opposite.
Yeah.
But no one's perfect.
No one is.
Worst comes to worst, you can just.
Except for you, Jim.
You know. Oh, Ryan. I was going to say that about you, but you beat me. That makes you perfect, Ryan. And do you want to do one or two more? I'll leave it up to you.
Well, let's do one more. We don't want to bore everybody with my answers.
I know. Well, Ryan, we know that your answers are better than my answers.
That's not true. So, but continue.
It is. All right, let's end with a hilarious situation. Your friend ends up accidentally murdering you.
Oh, God. All right.
While on a cave trek, whatever the hell that is, you reincarnate as a chipmunk, but now you're determined to show them you forgive them. What do you do?
Jesus. What would I do to show I forgive them? I mean, I'm assuming this means that as a chipmunk, I can't write anything.
You know, I don't know. Because, I mean, obviously you have to be, like, a sentient being because you have to know that you were murdered and that you were a human being, so.
Well, I think the question implies that you're, like, that you have knowledge that you were murdered and that you're basically just, like, right. trapped in a chipmunk's body.
Trapped in a chip.
I think I would probably, because they have pretty sharp teeth. I feel like I could probably like gnaw on a
slip into their
on a deck or something.
Throats.
Yeah, that too. I could either like gnaw on wood or something like that to form "I forgive you" and spell it out, and then put like Ryan is a little dash.
And then they see that, and then they freak out and they're like, "Oh my god, there's ghosts!"
And then I would do,
and he's coming back to haunt us, and then like there's a huge frenzy, and somebody grabs the gun and it goes off, and they blow up that person's head, and the other person freaks out and shoots that person. This is like a mass suicide,
and then all those people come back as chipmunks,
and we live happily ever after. We go nuts.
Yeah. No, I think I would be intentional about sitting there and like standing by my work after I did it. And then they would say, oh, there's a chipmunk. And then I would like raise my arms or something like that to be like, hey, it's me.
And then Billy Bob goes and grabs the shotgun.
Yeah. And yep. Yep. That's it. Yeah.
I feel like that's about as good as that answer could have been. That is such a wild scenario. What is a cave trek? I've heard of spelunking.
I think that's what it means, like just adventuring, like exploring a cave. I think that's... The question was probably just
friends,
not worded very
do you
well.
Go, friends, do you want to go trek in the caves?
Yes.
In yonder caves?
Let's do a trek cave.
We shall frolic and become chipmunks after one of us dies.
It is impossible for me to think of caves and not think of the movie The Descent.
Dude, every time.
I'm like, they're like, do you want to go in this cave? I'm like, I'm good. Have you seen the movie? Yeah. Not interested. Thank you for asking.
So there's this game called The Forest that I play with some friends. It's like a game where you, like, your plane crash lands. Well, no. Crashes on this island and you survive. And there's, like, these creepy cannibal human creatures that live on the island and mutants, and part of the game is you have to build a little base and survive and eat and hunt and fish and whatnot. But part of the game is you have to go spelunking into these caves to like get clues about like what's on the island, why are there cannibals, because they live down in the caves. And it scares the ever living shit out of me every time we do it, because it's just like The Descent. You're like climbing around in these little bitty,
that's
like
terrifying
crawlways, and they're like, and I scream like a little girl. But yes, yeah, that movie is terrifying, and I will always think of it every time I see a cave.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. I had nightmares for a long time after I watched that movie.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much ruled out being a cave adventurer after that movie.
Yeah, so the likelihood of that scenario and that question happening is very, very, very slim. So let's yes. avoid that at all costs. Well, do you have anything?
And
oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and if we ever do find ourselves spelunking in a cave, Ryan, or cave trekking, we should accidentally murder each other.
At the same time.
Because I think that would be easier. I wouldn't mind being a chipmunk. I would take being a chipmunk over being stuck in a dark, scary cave any day.
I like that. That's a good point.
Yes, I had nothing else to add. I digress.
No, it's all good. I appreciated the digression. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our Be Kind for the week. It's time for the Be Kind.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for.
Or the moment you've been dreading all your lives.
Or the part of the podcast that you decided, that's enough, I'm turning this off.
Well, whatever the case, Jim and I would like to say, as a Be Kind, is to find a habit or some sort of a collaboration that you can do with one of your friends. I think one thing that Jim and I have really appreciated about doing the podcast is it's allowed us to connect, especially during a weird time
in
the history of our country where we
in
can't
the history
always...
of Jim and Ryan.
Yeah, and in our history too, where we're fairly geographically close, but we aren't or haven't been able to see each other for quite some time. So I think finding something that you can collaborate and enjoy doing with one of your friends or someone that you're close with is very important. So that would be our encouragement for this week. And Jim, do you have anything that you want to add for perspective or thoughts?
I think you just got to grab one of your friends and get habitual with them.
Habitual.
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 I've always thought that word was really funny. Habitual.
Yeah, I do too.
It sounds inappropriate, but it's not. But yes, no, well said, Ryan. And this podcast has been an outlet for us to hang out in an otherwise unhangoutable world.
Yeah, and it's given us an opportunity to have some focused things that we, especially given the events in the political sphere, when we had been hanging out fairly recently, before all COVID stuff started, we had kind of gotten into a habit of talking about some of the same kinds of things because it was just top of mind. And so this has kind of given us an opportunity to branch
expand
out.
Expand our minds.
Hold ourselves in a little different of context.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, we're going to take a brief pause and then we will be right back with the recommendations for the week.
Indeed.
Recommendation Nation.
Yes.
So this, for our Getting to Know Your Best Friend episodes, we have started a new thing where our recommendations are going to be more like life hacks.
Hacks. H-A-X.
And by hacks, we mean don't try to chop off your finger like Jim did for his this week. Jim, do you want to lead off with what your recommendation
is?
No,
Ryan, you weren't supposed to tell them about that. My recommendation this week is to use the right tool for the right job. Because I almost cut my hand off yesterday, Eve. Little backstory. Thursday nights, I have a little D&D Discord date. All those Ds. And usually get kinda tipsy. We all drink while we do it, and at the end of the session, I was like, I'm really hungry. So I didn't stumble, but I moved into the kitchen and was going to make some garlic bread and whipped out the massive chef's knife instead of taking the bread knife out of the dishwasher. I thought I'd use my chef's knife. And I started cutting the loaf, which is a little bit stale, so it was kind of hard, and it slipped and went right into my hand.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I woke up on the floor because just kind of the shock and all of it all happening, it was a little bit too much for me, which is weird because I can see blood and stuff and gore and whatnot, and it does not bother me, but it bothered me last night, and I woke up on the floor and I was like, what happened? Thankfully, yeah. I wasn't bleeding out, and I had chopped my hand off, and it was actually a fairly shallow wound. I think a little liquid skin couldn't, or liquid stitches couldn't fix. But yeah, use the right knife for the right task. Otherwise,
yes, please.
You'll die.
Not to be fatalistic about this, but if you don't heed Jim's advice, things could go very badly. Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to follow up on that kind of theme. Is one thing that I found is when you're early on in your career, early on in a task that you're learning to do, the important thing is to be consistent with it rather than to like try to find the silver bullet or the panacea to like super speed your development. Because I can say when I was starting out, especially in product development, I was looking for like, what are the top 10 things you need to do as a, you know, a new product owner or something like that. And some of this stuff is helpful insight, but the reality is a lot of things in your life, you're just going to find that experience and deliberate commitment to that thing is going to be the way to get better. Recently, I've started learning to play the piano, and at times I've kind of gotten frustrated because I'm like, man, I see other people play and I feel like I should be able to do that. But it's just slow going. It's slow going because to anything that relies on experience and knowledge, it takes a while for those two things to sync up. And even after, it's, you're never perfect and you never get everything. You never become a maestro where you have nothing else to learn. And so I would just encourage everybody to be committed and when you feel discouraged, to maybe take a step away from the activity or practice or that part of your development in your career, and just think, what's something that I could, why am I stuck right now? Why do I feel discouraged or
literally
frustrated? And that helps you, right? It gives you some perspective. So it's been easier for me to do that and take that as a grain of salt when I'm going through to learn the piano. So,
well, Ryan, you made a very eloquent recommendation out of my dipshit moment.
Well, I was inspired. You said use the right tool for the right job, and I think that both of our recommendations line up. I think that's important. And also to know that, like, just having a process for the sake of having a process is not great. Like, a tool is a tool, and knowing the context to use it in is the most important. So,
moral of the story, don't be a tool.
Also, use your tools.
Also, don't use the chef knife for cutting bread.
That too. Please don't. All right. Well, Jim, do you have anything else you want to add just about the episode in general or parting thoughts?
I think it was a good wild ride of funny and deep.
Yeah.
Much needed. Yeah.
Agreed. Well, we will likely be back next week with our regularly scheduled programming of a pretty specific topic. And Jim and I have been thinking of some good things, so hopefully we'll have something fully right. Baked.
Our thought hamsters have been running their wheels quickly.
Yeah. Well, we hope that everybody has a good Valentine's Day, and even if you do not have a significant other, you can share love to yourself and take care of yourself or treat yourself.
Sit at home and drown yourself in wine and chocolate.
There are worse things. And enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good week, folks.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as Jim and I enjoy making it. If you'd like to subscribe, we will be sending out feature content within the coming weeks, months, and years. So feel free to do that, and we'd love to have you around.
And Ryan, don't forget, we're on social media.
Oh, that's right. We are on Twitter at expandmind, be kind, and that is the letter B. And then we are also on Gmail. If you want to send us an email, it's expandyourmindandbekind@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us questions or any thoughts that anyone may have, and can't wait till the next episode.
Like Dr. Dre.